And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Hello, young listeners, wherever you are. We're going to talk about The King and I, which is at the Hippodrome Theater. It's there through the weekend on Sunday. And joining me, as always, on Thursdays, Jay Wynn Ruzick, our theater critic. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So The King and I is an old, old chestnut, and a beautiful one, if indeed there is, it qualifies as a chestnut and a classic, I think. Anything new, different about this particular production?
Well, Tom, if you are a King and I fan, and you clearly are, you will find this a very familiar version of the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic, indeed a classic. It's very respectful. It's a bit slow. King and I, as you know, is based on a novel, Anna and the King of Siam. That, in turn, was based on the memoir of a widowed Welsh schoolteacher named Anna Leon Owens. She was hired by the King of Siam in the 1860s to teach his wives, plural, and children. This is a touring version of the 2015 Tony Award-winning revival, a production that's still running in London. There's one nice change. The production restores a song that's usually cut. I don't know if you know the song. It's called Western People Funny. It's the first number after intermission. It's sung by the king's wives. They're trying on hoop skirts and shoes so that they will impress a visiting British delegation that wants to make sure that they are not barbarians. It's a very comic song. The wives are hobbling around in these hoop skirts, and they're making fun of Western styles. But as a whole, this is not a reinterpreted or a reimagined production, and it's kind of stripped down. For example, that entire visiting British delegation is one man.
They were pretty chintzy on their delegations. Well, I don't know that tune, but I certainly know, you know, Hello, Young Lovers. I love that. And Getting to Know You, Getting to Know All About You. That's in this show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And Whenever I Feel Afraid, I Whistle a Happy Tune.
Right? That's it,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I know the hit parade that is The King and I, and I know nothing about all sorts of subjects. So how do these hits... It's almost like a jukebox musical in a way. How do the hits go at the Hippodrome?
Rodgers and Hammerstein Hit Parade.
Yeah.
Actually, it varies. The orchestra is very thin. This is a really lush score, as you acknowledge. But the program lists only 10 musicians in the pit, and that includes only one violin. Most of the voices are good. There are a couple standouts. Paulina Young, who plays the heartbroken slave Tupton, has an opera background, and her rendition of My Lord and Master, which comes early in the show, is really the show's musical high point. But Deanna Choi, who plays the number one wife, Lady Tiang, also has a lovely voice, and she's a strong actress. In Something Wonderful, when she explains the king and her feelings for the king to angry Anna, Deanna Choi really makes us understand and believe her character. Let's listen to a little bit of that song.
You'll always go along, defend him when he's wrong, and tell him when he's strong, he
Deanna Choi in The King and I at the Hippodrome. It is a small band. 10 people is a small group for a score like this. It works pretty well, but how about the two title performances? How about The King and The I?
Well, people think the king is the star. His name comes first. But Rodgers and Hammerstein actually wrote this show as a star vehicle for Gertrude Lawrence playing Anna. Yul Brynner was an unknown. Gertrude Lawrence died during the original Broadway run, and the star status somehow shifted to Yul Brynner, and he went on to play that role all his life. He played more than 4,600 performances spread over 30 years. So subsequent productions often deliberately try to make the king look different from Yul Brynner, and that's the case here, too. Pedro Kawalawa plays the king, and he does look different. He wears a kind of high ponytail close to his head, although he has the sides of his head shaved. And he also wears glasses when the king reads, which is a really nice choice. It makes him look very scholarly and attempts to be scientific, as the king puts it. He has kind of a high nasal speaking voice, but this doesn't impact his singing negatively. And he doesn't come across as quite as stubborn as some some of the Kings I've seen in this show. But he's very competitive. That spirit is really clear. And he embodies that battle between the old ways and the modern ones, the East and the West, that's central to the show. It's a solid performance. You see the King struggle and you see him changed. So as I mentioned, this was written as a star vehicle for the original actress who played Anna. And here we have Angela Baumgardner, and she doesn't quite shine brightly enough. She's a little too schoolmarmish, if that's possible for a character playing a teacher. The emotional range is just a little too narrow. Even when she's angry, when Anna's angry in the soliloquy, "Shall I tell you what I think of you?" I didn't sense a lot of conviction. And in that grand number, "Shall We Dance?", the King seems much more joyful and enthusiastic than Anna. Baumgardner's best quality is her singing voice. She has warm tones. I brought you a sample. You'll recognize this one.
Don't cry, young lovers, whatever you do. Don't cry because I'm alone. All my memories are happy tonight. I've had a
That is one good tune, I'll tell you. I really do love that song. It's a masterpiece. Angela Baumgardner, she's singing Hello, Young Lovers in the touring production of The King and I at the Hippodrome here in Baltimore. Now, obviously, this show is usually, Judy, a pretty sumptuous affair. Is that true in this case?
Well, I have nothing but praise for Katherine Zuber's costumes, which won a Tony Award for this production. She gives both the East and the West their due in terms of design, and not just Anna's gowns. The ensemble has these golden costumes and headdresses in the ballet, The Small House of Uncle Thomas. The sets, however, have been adapted for the tour, and they are not sumptuous. The best feature is a gold show curtain that changes colors. It's also used for what are called in-ones, small scenes that are performed in front of the curtain while the set is changed. It's a very old-fashioned device that's retained for this production. The King and I was the most expensive show in Broadway history when it opened in 1951. Here, with the exceptions of the costumes, this tour is very slimmed down.
So The King and I mean, is it still relevant today? I mean, I think some of these shows that, talk about other cultures other than American culture can become dated pretty soon, pretty quickly. I mean, I think like South Pacific or something like that. I mean, does it tell us anything about the current state of foreign relations? And is it generous to cultures other than America?
I actually think that it is. Bartlett Sher, the director, his 2015 direction has been restaged for this tour. He talks about Rodgers and Hammerstein's recurring theme of tolerance. This is something I've written about. They abhorred bigotry. They abhorred hatred. The King has a line. This is from the original script. "One day I wish to build a fence around Siam." That got a big laugh and applause on opening night. And then the King adds that the next day he'll let the rest of the world in. And that also got applause. So there is some political relevance, especially in terms of the need for mutual understanding. The King and I is not about the triumph of Western imperialism. It is about maintaining and respecting cultural heritage in the modern world. And of course, feminism is a really big theme that's still relevant. 19th century Thailand isn't the only time and place where women's education and rights have been restricted. The King and I was a landmark musical when it opened. It has, as you point out, some of Rodgers and Hammerstein's greatest songs and greatest themes. In the touring production that's here, The Small House of Uncle Thomas, which largely replicates Jerome Robbins' ballet choreography, and the King's death scene are still very moving. But overall, this is not a glorious production. Anna is supposed to inspire all the King's children, all of his wives, and most of all the King himself, but this is not the most inspiring Anna, and I didn't leave whistling a happy tune.
Oh my gosh, that's too bad. The King and I continues at the Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. It's there until Sunday. We get information about tickets on our website, wypr.org/midday. So quickly, next week we won't have a review, but we will have a conversation between you and a very, very accomplished playwright.
Yes, Pulitzer Prize winner Paula Vogel will be talking about her latest play, Indecent, which begins begins previews at Baltimore Center Stage that night.
All right, look forward to that. Thanks, Judy. We'll see you then.
See you then.
All right, that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby talks about a new initiative to encourage victims and witnesses to testify in criminal trials. Oliver Schell from the Baltimore Museum of Art is going to talk about their new exhibition, and we will pay tribute to the great Ethel Ennis, who passed away last weekend. Lunch today provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their 75th anniversary celebration, which goes on all year. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. I'm Tom Hall. Here and Now is coming up next after the news. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.